Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy new year. You are listening to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/choice. Doing so well for new year, nice and smooth. That didn't work, did it? Anyway, I am joined in the studio today by a brand new co-host. Welcome to the team, the wonderful Hacks of Prisma Broadcast.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us this year.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really excited about this.
It's good. Well, hopefully it'll be good anyway. We'll hold judgment till the end of the show.
Exactly. You've got to let me read tweets yet.
Yeah. I'm sure you can cope with that. And our guests in the show, I'm very excited, in the show today are Barry and John. Do you know how long I've been wanting to say that for? Barry and John.
Well, you didn't get to do it last year.
Exactly. Barry doesn't work, does it? But Barry and John, which is, of course, Barry Thompson and John Sanderson from Me Now.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for coming up. John, why was you shaking your head? It's a good, I think it should be your
Barry and John thing.
Barry and John.
We don't need to do that. It's 2020. Let's do something new.
Okay. John and Barry.
There you go.
This is just a new Chuckle Brothers, really. Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. It's just to you. It's no to me anymore, is it?
That is very true. May him rest in peace. So we are back, and is saying Happy New Year. And it always feels weird saying Happy New Year around about the 10th of the month, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It's sort of been there, done that. You know, we're in the year.
Yeah, we're now getting to the point where, oh God, have we said it yet to them? No, not yet.
Yeah.
Okay,
you've got
to say it.
Does Tesco have the Christmas crackers for 2020 in the stores yet?
Have you got your Easter eggs yet?
I've seen the Easter eggs coming out.
Yes. No, but I tell you what, I bought some Christmas lights for next year.
Did you? Yeah. It's best time to buy them, isn't it? You get your wrapping paper and everything now. So you've got it for next year.
It's perfect. Good strategy.
It is. Plan ahead. That's all we like to do. But we're back and we've got a great year planned. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. Well, just a subtle hint. Get watching. We might be more visual coming up in the next couple of months, so you can actually see us making a fool of ourselves rather than just hear us, which would be fun. We do want to hear
from you. Does that mean I have to start dressing for radio as well?
Yes. Okay. Everybody, we don't dress for radio, but then they're like, hello.
Just for the viewer, just for the listeners, you are dressed. clear that.
I wanted to create that fantasy.
He's coming in his underwear today. Thanks for that, Hacks. We want to hear from you, the listeners. We know it's a little bit quieter out there today because a lot of people are at the Business Summit at the University in Kent and Canterbury. But for those that are listening or those that are going to listen again, do give us a tweet and let us know how your first week is. Is it your first week back? Did you start working in between or did you start back this week? Let us know. Give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the hashtag Be Extra, Be Bunker. Give us an email. We've got a few slots through the year for guests. So if you'd like to come on as a guest, give me an email at bunkerextra@gmail.com. So, of course, the last show that was actually on air was the Christmas special, and I had all of my co-hosts in, and we were talking about business and planning and strategies, etc. But it was quite a fun show. So if you missed that, go to the bizradio.co.uk website, click the extra tab and all the previous shows are there. But did you just start back this week, guys, or have you been non-stop? Or
to be honest, I don't think it's stopped. there was the customary break for Christmas Day and Boxing Day, but I think I honestly think I've worked every single other day.
Have you?
In between, yeah.
You can give yourself any time off at all.
That was Christmas Day and Boxing Day.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But when were you available for your clients? On Monday or literally just right after New Year's Day?
I think from a client perspective, it's been this week.
Yeah.
But there's been so much other things going on with our charity program and stuff like that we just really couldn't afford to have a full chill down over the Christmas break.
Yeah, you tend to have all sorts of stuff that you need to do behind the scenes, or you know, working on your business or whatever preparation, whatever. But it's a client interface. When were you back on the plot? Client interface for me, it was Monday.
Yeah, it's this week. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So, did you have time off? Literally, no business work whatsoever.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I kind of forced myself just before Christmas, and then I worked a couple of days between, and then again over New Year. I went away for New Year, which was nice.
And sometimes it's good to do that, isn't it? Because you have to force yourself to actually stop working. And
well, exactly. I wasn't allowed to take a computer or whatever. My phone wasn't on for most of the time and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a kind of a a forced break. If I'd been given the choice, I probably wouldn't have done. But no, I was instructed by higher beings that I had to do that.
So. The clever woman in your life, I'm guessing.
Did you get the glare?
I did. Yes, the glare and that single tone, Michael.
Yeah, that's it. You know you're in trouble.
She calls you Michael, then you know you're in trouble for sure. But it's funny though, because I think a lot of people, when you run a business, so many people do fall into that trap. Is when you're not working as such, i.e., say servicing clients or actually doing work, most people still carry on in the background because there's always marketing to do or planning for the next month to do or things like that. And I think you really have to force yourself to go, no. Put the phone down, put the laptop down and just...
I think with social media being such an important part of anybody's business nowadays, I know Lucy Hall has her social media planner that you can really think ahead about what you want to say and when you want to say it. Mm. And I do think that a lot of businesses will spend that time thinking about what am I going to say next year?
Yeah.
When am I going to say it as well? And having that sort of downtime enables you to focus on those sort of things, which aren't everyday business tasks.
But they are, really.
They should be.
But that's the thing, isn't it? I think so many people think they're so busy working in the business that they don't make time to work on the business. So when they're supposed to have their downtime, they work on the business, where I think it's better to schedule in working on the business, which is your social media and what you're going to say and everything, and schedule in, obviously, working in the business. And then you've got to schedule in this year, 2020, people, you've got to schedule in your downtime. I think
it'll be easier with us and me now this year because there's more of us. And because we're in the UK and in the US, then we've got people in the US taking care of that, which we probably spent more time bringing up to speed last year.
Mm.
So we can leave that piece be. To some extent.
Will you, though? I was going to say, can you?
Will you? That
is the question. Well, we'll discuss this a little bit later on in the show and obviously get into America. But that is the trouble, isn't it? Can you switch off and should you switch off?
Well, it's funny because Andrew Priestley and I, he only lives down the road from me. So we meet up for a drink occasionally and we ended up talking about the downtime. And typically when you run or own a business, you can't just down tools. It's it goes against the grain. So a really quick solution is to actually find yourself a hobby that it probably is equally as busy or time-consuming, but it gets you out of the thought process of your business, the occupation of your business, and makes you do something entirely different. Because inherently, most entrepreneurs and business owners are so geared up that sitting to do nothing is absolutely uncomfortable, and therefore you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting in the kitchen and you're thinking, God, I should be doing this and whatever, or trying to read a book or whatever. I mean, I listen to books, but, giving yourself that sort of time is hard.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sort of sitting here preaching your own time, but obviously now I have a hobby, which actually is more physically hard work than actually running the business. But it does switch my brain off from running the business. And
that's three quarters of the battle, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously, if you just be extra careful, make sure you don't get hurt when you're doing the hobby, which then puts you out of action for a couple of weeks. But I think, having something away from what your business is vital, because otherwise you can just, the famous word, isn't it, burn out.
Well, it's the same in this country and in the US. The bulk of business owners are single person businesses.
Mm.
And it's not that you... don't have the time. It's that you're trying to do everything yourself. Maybe the thing for this year will be find somebody to take some of that load off.
Yeah.
Go find yourself a bookkeeper. Go find yourself an accountant. Go find somebody who can, do your website or manage some of your social media. Go find somebody else to do some of these tasks.
Yeah. Or find your... I think the main thing and the most important tool that any business owner can have is... being able to manage the time, manage your time literally to the minute, to the second day, because we've all got the same amount of time in a day. But if you manage your time very, very well, then you can be a lot more organised with what you do.
Well, there's an app that helps with that.
Is it?
What's it called?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. For certain, yeah, trade people up there.
That's it.
Service people. me now. Why don't you answer it?
That'll be it. That'll be the one.
But no, seriously, I mean, obviously, it's everyone's, I think, and also it's your mindset, isn't it? Oh, I haven't got enough time to do everything. But if you constantly think, I haven't got enough time to do everything, you actually inevitably don't have enough time to do everything. But if you think, right, this is what I'm going to do in this time, yeah, you don't always get it done, but focus and time management. Definitely.
Definitely. Interestingly, I saw someone else's diary on their phone the other day, and they've got various colours for, obviously, for various types of meetings and so forth. But a lot of it, blue, was stuff that they'd organised, that they needed to do in the day that was scheduled. So they almost scheduled the fact that when they were going to answer their emails. And they only answered and read their emails once a day, deliberately. So even if someone, you know, at 10:05, let's say 10 o'clock was their cutoff time, 10:05 emailed them, they wouldn't read it until 9 o'clock the following morning, which I thought was, I don't know, could we survive like that? I mean, if you do the 4-day work week, whatever, you read that, there's an interesting experiment in there that he says about reading your emails in on a sparse, you know, a sparse habit, as it were. And maybe that's another tool, is that the more organised you have to do, you have more disciplined you have to do in terms of what can distract you from your day.
Yeah. I think you can. I think people always think, oh, God, I've got to answer that, because they're expecting an answer straight away. But you're not, as long as you answer it within, you know, a suitable time frame. I think obviously it gets harder these days because you get the notifications on your phone, and obviously a lot of us these days on your watch, so you're like, oh God, there's another email come in. But I think if you can just see it, glance over it and go, okay, well, I can answer that tomorrow, or I can answer it later, it's not vital.
You need to sit in my office when a notification goes off.
Yeah, we've got like six computers in your office.
Yeah, pretty much. Everything goes off pretty much after it's like, oh,
phone,
God.
Watch, computer.
That's got to be so difficult. Yeah. Do you get distracted?
I'm actually not that bad, because I will tend to try and finish the task that I'm doing. So if I get a phone call coming in, I'm thinking, oh, I know there's nothing on fire, it can go to voicemail, I will finish the task that I'm doing. So if I'm in the middle of writing an email, I will finish writing the email.
Oh, see, that's quite a good discipline, isn't it?
Otherwise, yeah, you get easily distracted, and before you know it, it's 3 hours before you come back to, oh, what was I emailing that person about?
Mm. What was that? Mm.
So I try and do that. But for the most part, yeah, it's very distracting being in my office.
Have you ever thought of turning the notifications off on some of your devices?
No.
But would you be courageous enough
to turn notifications off? Yeah. I don't even turn things off. That's how bad I am.
You're one of these people that leaves all the lights on, don't you? Leaves the lights on.
No, they're all on timers, so everything's automated now.
Oh, there we go. No, I think it is. I think it is. I think also everyone has to find their own way of how they do things and cope with things. And, you know, everyone says, oh, you need to do it this way or that way. But it doesn't. That way doesn't work for everybody.
No,
so
it's finding what works for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Depending on what your job is.
Yeah. Yeah, and how much time you want to dedicate to that job, and without going mental or burning out or stuff. We have had some tweets come through, actually. Let's have a little look what we've got there on LeeTweeter. We've got one from Athelbray. Guessing our... obviously, I put out, have you had, how has your beginning of the year been? Athelbray have put out, guessing ours has been rather better than yours. Incredibly busy first week back, which is fantastic, but please, the alarm will be off tomorrow. What's that? Hang on. Guessing ours has been better than yours. Incredibly busy first week back, which is fantastic, but please, the alarm will be off tomorrow. Oh, cool. Sorry. Alarm, getting up in the
Saturday
morning.
Tomorrow.
I'm with it. Yeah.
Yes.
Is it Saturday tomorrow? Does anybody still not know what day of the week is? We're looking at actions for decluttering your business, space in line, I can't read this morning. We're looking at actions for decluttering your business space in line with similar ideas for personal decluttering. Watch this space. Decluttering. Yeah, you should see the state of my desk at the moment. I've got like stuff. I haven't obviously got around to clearing it yet because I haven't been back to my desk. But everything has to be decluttered, isn't it? Because cluttering can just make everything just more get in your face. If there's anything else on there, Hex, Let's make you read your first tweet.
Well, I have to say, there's not much up here, actually, apart from...
You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to say, there's so many I can't filter through.
No, in terms of my screen is not showing. Okay, we've got some from Pink Spaghetti PA Services at Maidstone. Happy New Year at Bunker Extra. Looking forward to listening in and catching up throughout to 2020. Is it 2020 or 2020?
No, it's got to be 2020, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be 2020, definitely. And to you and Chips and Dinks are also saying Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Chips and Dinks. And the lovely Tracy Ferguson. Happy New Year, Amanda and guests. Hope you're feeling much better. For those that don't know, and I don't think there's many people that don't know, I had a little bit of an accident last weekend. My horse kicked me, so I've been on crutches and out of action for a week. But I'm fine. No broken bones, just a lot of bruising and swelling.
But in defence of your horse, it wasn't deliberate towards you, was it?
No, it wasn't. And even though Paul keeps on growling every time I say that, it wasn't the horse's fault. I stood in the wrong place at the wrong time and got in the way. And just go show you how powerful and quick horses' back legs are. Don't ever underestimate horses or animals. But I'm fine. I'm on the mend and we'll be back in the saddle very soon. Don't tell Paul. I can say it because he's not listening. But yeah, do keep, if there's anybody out there in the Twitter world, do give us a tweet and let us know how you've been doing the first year. Everybody is at, I know a lot of people are at the Business Summit today. It'll be interesting because we were talking about this and we know a lot of what's covered at the Business Summit held by the University of Kent is very much about business, but infrastructure based. You went last year, Barry, didn't you?
I did. It was very interesting, especially when you start to think about how just the simple roadways and the changes that, you know, last year was everything was for Operation Brock, everything was for Brexit. Now, I'm hoping this year that whole conversation is completely different. Mm. But it's not the major arterial roads. Kent is full of some of the most amazing small businesses that are in the back of nowhere. Mm. And it's those little roads that really then impact just how they can perform and how they do their business. And it gets lost. It gets lost so easily because we've just got, you know, there's the M20, there's the M2, there's the A2. No, there's so much more. And when they start digging them up or they start,
building new houses.
building
my houses everywhere.
Sorry.
Well, I have to say, we're 30 minutes into the programme and someone's just mentioned the houses for the first time. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. It's just such a popular subject in discussion around Ashford at the moment.
Oh, it's ridiculous, the amount of houses they're building around Ashford.
Well, John's Faversham and they're building how many?
It's about 3,000, I think. So it's stupid.
Boxy, who wants to live in a box?
Mm. And I was told that there's 2,000 houses going into the Selinge and Folkestone area, or the top end of Folkestone, whatever. We've got 60,000 houses here currently on plan and going ahead. I mean, okay, fine. It gives an opportunity for people to buy their own houses, but at the same time, it's going to attract a lot of new people in. And is there the infrastructure, yes, and it's the same old argument, but it's the employment. Is there enough work in Ashford?
But then a lot of what people are doing, isn't it, is being close to the train station because they're going to work in London. They want to live out of London with an easy commute to London. So I think a lot of that is being focused around.
I think that there's a lot of positives as well that, you know, the small businesses in Kent will see the benefit of the, you know, the local communities growing. But they then need to have the foresight to think, how am I going to grow my business this year if we're going to get 3,000 new people on our doorstep? Mm.
And again, if it's a service industry, hairdressers, beauty salons, I'm just thinking of a female stuff here, gyms, all those type of things, then obviously those type of businesses, then it's good that there's more people coming in to the area because it potentially more clients for them. No, it's lots of different things. So it should be interesting. We'll get feedback on that and how that was because Gemma's there today and Paul. So we'll ask Gemma about it next week. But there's lots of stuff going on out there in the business world. And obviously somebody did swear and say the Brexit word. And I can't remember which of you two that was.
That was me. Yeah.
But I think we can mention it now because it's, you know.
It's all fine, isn't
it? It's getting sorted now.
Move on quickly. Come
exactly.
On.
That's all we need to do, though. That's exactly what we need to do, though, John.
Yes,
move
exactly,
on. Let's get on with it. We've all got businesses to run and we just want to know how to do that. So, no, that's good. Do you guys plan? This is always a subject we cover at the end of the beginning. Do you plan and set goals for the year ahead? What's your thought on planning and goal setting?
Yeah, because we're both project managers by trade, so that's pretty much our raison d'etre, to be honest. Yeah, so we do that. We've got a high-level view of what we want to achieve this year for all of our endeavours, and that includes, you know, the our expansion into the US, our expansion, further expansion into the UK. I'm sure Barry will give us a much more detailed view of our charity affiliate program that we've come up with and we're pushing hard on now. But yeah, we've got some pretty aggressive targets, I think, for this year.
For this year, definitely. And especially, as John said, in the US as well, because we were so new coming to the US last year and building that team and tweaking the message, because things don't work in the same locations.
Things don't work in the same way as in America they do here.
They do and they
language
don't.
Is a big thing. You know, we talk a common language, apparently. But, we don't really.
Oh, no.
We really don't.
So as an example, so initially our affiliate program was an affiliate scheme. Well, in the US, you can't use the word scheme because it actually means scheming and you're up to something or you're up to no good. So program change became, do you then change it for the US or do you just change it
across the board?
Across the board.
Yeah.
So we all the way along, we've wanted to maintain the same message. So it's never getting diluted. And because we know exactly why we're in business and what our ultimate goal is, there's no end point to that for us. So it has to be the same message to every single business, to every single charity or school, in order that we don't confuse across the board, really.
That's quite interesting, because until you start doing business with another country like America, you just say, you think, oh, it'd be easy to work with America because, you know, they speak the same language. But they do, but they don't, because there's so many different meanings.
It's colloquialisms as well.
Yeah.
You know, you use what language in a certain way over here, and if you use the same language over there, it means something totally different.
Completely different,
you know, everybody's got, you know, examples of those. But it was just some of our business language that we used on our website that just didn't translate at all. And so we had to create a US version.
Strip it back and
it was
almost
quite bizarre.
Look at it from a very neutral point of view.
I had a really interesting conversation as well just recently about what pricing, if you're going global, what pricing do you run your primary price? And it's usually American dollars,
USA.
Which I find, okay, fine, whatever. But it's no longer the euro.
Nope.
I don't know, you know, we can speculate why. But,
nobody likes euros anymore.
How long we got?
Pound is, pound is a secondary consideration when you're going global on your website.
Yep. Likewise, up until probably September of last year, we were on a .co.uk domain. You can't have it, you know, it's then seen as not American if you're not on a .com domain. Mm. So we then had to
.com.
And that's when you changed the app.
Yeah. Well, the app, the great thing about the app has never changed. It's exactly the same app in the US as we have in the UK, but we have had to go through it piece by piece and just make sure there is no localization with regards to language.
Sure, but I meant I understood earlier the conversation about, the URL changing to the word app.
Yeah, absolutely,
Cool. Well, you know what? We're going to find out a lot more now about John and Mary. I've got to get the new flow of that. Let's have a quick break and a bit of music. And then when we come back, we're going to be hearing about Me Now's move or expansion into the US and all the other great things you've been up to. I chose this. It is one of my favourite songs. And I think we should all be very happy.
Because I'm happy, club alone, if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy, club alone. cleaning solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2, The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back, and you are still listening, if you're still there, to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday the 10th of January, 10 days in already of 2020. I quite like 2020. I think it should be, can't be 2020, it could be 2020. Just rolls off the tongue, it's bleh, bleh.
But how many times did you write the date wrong this year?
I haven't actually written it yet, so I'm all right.
No, I'm fine, yes. Yes,
but have you seen that people are saying about obviously not shortening when you write the date, and you know normally shorten it down to two digits. So you don't do that, because if you shorten it down to the 10th, 10/01/20, if you do that on a legal document, somebody could quite easily then add a number at the end of the 20 to make it a different date.
Yes.
So therefore making it not valid.
Well, our background's in IT, so we lived through the millennium bug.
Oh, the millennium bug. Do you remember those days? Oh my God, it's the end of the world.
Yes. It did.
And the world did stop, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It That's did. Why we're not
A couple
here
of,
anymore.
Exactly. Traffic things yeah. stopped, didn't they? Yeah, yeah absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But that wasn't talked about at the time.
No. But we're still going. But as you can hear, I am joined in the studio by our brand new co-host, who's doing all right so far, isn't he, guys? We reckon he can stay, is the wonderful Hacks from Prisma Broadcast.
That's so generous of you. Thank you so much.
Whether you want to or not.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
No, we love having you here.
I tried to escape in the break, but you wouldn't let me. No. You locked the door remotely, didn't you?
Yeah, once you're in, you ain't going out. And our guests are the wonderful John and Barry. Is that better now, John?
John and Barry.
John and Barry.
I don't mind. I've just been sulky. Don't worry. It's fine.
It's been grumpy. It's Friday. You're supposed to be happy on a Friday.
It's Friday morning, isn't it?
Which are the wonderful John Sanderson and Barry Thompson of Me Now. And we have sort of touched on a bit of Me Now before the break. But we just need to have a very quick recap, because there will be a few people out there listening that don't know what Me Now is. So you need to do your 60-second pitch of Me Now and then fast forward or go over the last 4 years of how much you developed, because you've come on leaps and bounds, haven't you? It's amazing.
And I have to say, I've got some questions as well.
Yeah, exactly. You've got 20 minutes. Let's go.
Right. So the Me Now app advertises when a small business is available. So if a hairdresser, physiotherapist, dog groomer, or even a small family restaurant has a cancellation or a gap in their diary, people following their business on the app get a notification every time that they say they can fit them in. And the great thing about the app is you can turn, as a customer, you can turn those notifications on and off, which makes the business marketing completely GDPR compliant. So they don't know who's receiving it because it's on our platform. But the only thing that we give to the customer is quite simply, this is the name of the business. This is when they're available, and there's a call button in the middle of the app. So they can contact the business straight away and say, I'd like that appointment, please, or I'd like to book that table.
And it's brilliant.
And that's what it does. It's
genius.
Nice and simple.
Genius. And so obviously you should say that it works very well for the service industry that they've got. Appointment booking.
It works very well for repeat business. So, hairdresser, beauty salon, osteopath or chiropractor, those types of businesses.
So it's mainly a B2C platform.
Yes. Yeah. So we are, as a company, we're B2B, but we facilitate a B2C marketing.
Right.
Of specific appointments or availability. So rather than trying to, haggle backwards and forwards as to, can you fit me in on Wednesday? Oh, yeah, I can fit you on a Wednesday. Oh, brilliant. Wednesday morning? No, Wednesday afternoon. Oh, I can't do Wednesday afternoon.
I know.
You take all of that away.
Exactly.
Try booking a dentist.
Yes.
Yep. Try booking to have your nails done. I mean, sometimes that can be
I hate that. Amanda.
And
I really
getting your hair done.
I can never get my hair done.
No, exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If anyone can see my picture, they'll understand why.
I'm going to take a picture now.
Yeah, of his nails.
But obviously, this is the app, and you guys came up with the idea and developed it. And so coming up to 5 years now, 5 years that you've been.
I used to have a ponytail.
Did you? Yeah. have you ever had a ponytail?
My kids think I did.
Yeah.
And I'm going with that.
Going with that. Yeah, one day I was cool and hip and I had a ponytail. It was a clip on.
Yeah.
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah. I can't imagine what your hair was like one day.
As a photographer in the 80s in London, I'm saying nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we want to see photograph evidence of that. Thank you very much. But obviously, so you've been going, say, 4 years now, and you have grown and you developed and you moved. You've been into America over a year now, haven't it?
No, so America was probably around September time last year.
Was it only September time?
Yeah.
But you have been in discussions for quite a long time. Yeah, quite a while.
So, yeah, we went out to Connecticut and met with Linda McMahon, who is the head of the Small Business Administration in the US, and about how we would be able to do exactly what we do here, really. So that was very interesting. And yeah, it took us a little while. Took us a little while just to get everything right. Especially from a geolocation point of view, because you want it to work for the people in the right locations. There's no point us showing businesses that are available in Kent or in Birmingham to people who are in
Birmingham.
New York.
Birmingham's a good one, actually, because you've got Birmingham, Alabama,
yep,
and places like that. They don't want to see stuff that's in the Midlands.
No,
it's
confusing.
It was quite a learning.
Yeah, there's six places named Springfield in the US.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you say going into the US, have you gone to particular counties, or is it sort of across?
It's available across the US.
Yeah.
The great thing about the way the app works is it's individual to the individual business. So if it's a chiropractor in Chicago, as an example, then they can register their business. It's all about their customers following them on the app.
Yeah,
that business doesn't need them to be following 16 hairdressers or 14 restaurants as well.
Yeah.
It's all about the individual business.
Yeah,
and that's why it was built the way it was built, in order to facilitate that type of interaction. So it could be, you, as a business owner, you could be very selfish and just promote yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's just about me at the end of the day.
For a small business owner, yeah, it is.
Exactly.
It's all about them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And so then that's the American part of it.
Yes.
And then what else have you been up to? Because you've been busy. You only had 2 days off at Christmas.
So we started the affiliate program initially for charities. And then we came across a BBC documentary about school funding issues. And that was absolutely heartbreaking. So because PTFAs are also registered charities.
For those of us that don't know.
Parent, Teacher and Friend Association.
Right.
So it may just be a PTA.
You can tell I'm not a member of one of my daughter's school, because I don't know what it means.
So the PTAs raise funds for what it was traditionally for, extra things that make learning fun.
Yeah.
But for the most part, PTAs are actually funding things from breakfast and after school clubs. So that means parents can work or, you know, go to shift work, etc. They're also funding a lot of the basics: pens, pencils, paper, books. You know, these aren't things that make learning fun anymore. These are the bare necessities,
which is ridiculous that they're not so being afforded.
We pushed to really open the affiliate program to schools as well. And what we wanted is that we wanted to create a way of fundraising without asking anybody for money.
So come on, how do you raise money without asking people for money?
Well, the money comes from us. So what happens is that we give. So I'm going to give you an example, because I love this group from the bottom of my heart. So Tankerton Football Club's Deaf Children's Football Team, we sponsor and have done for the last 2 years. Absolutely amazing program. But Tankerton FC has over 300 players, right through from age, you know, the 5-year-olds all the way up to the senior team. And they have new facilities. They're building new pitches. They've been given some land, because they currently rent about space where everybody plays. So Tankton Football Club is on our affiliate program. They will be promoting the Me Now app to the parents and supporters of the football club.
Yeah.
Now, the way this works is that all of those parents and supporters will use a small business. Now, we help small businesses fill their appointments. So it's a win-win. If those small businesses join the Me Now app as a thank you for joining, we'll give them 2 months on our premium tier, which is 30 adverts a month for free. If they continue on that premium tier, and they pay us the £35 a month subscription, we will pay that 40% of that subscription as a charitable donation back to Tankerton Football Club.
Right.
So the business is making money because they're filling their appointments.
Yeah.
They're paying us for that service. We are donating that money direct back to Tankerton Football Club.
Yeah.
So at no point has Tankerton Football Club had to ask anybody for money. Now, we don't just do it once. If you join on Amazon, Smile or something like that, and you buy something and your favourite charity gets a percentage, they get percentage for that one purchase.
Yeah.
If those businesses stay on our premium tier for 12 months, we will pay 40% of that subscription back every single month for 12 months. So that £14, which is 40% of 35, that £14 per business becomes, for 10 businesses, will become £140 per month. So now you're raising £1,600 and you haven't had to ask anybody for any money.
I like the quick maths there.
This is not quick maths at all.
They're living with these numbers.
As an example, so we looked at, if Tankerton Football Club has 300 players, potentially 600 supporters or guardians, etc., what's the reach of their parents or supporters? It's not the reach of the club. It's how many businesses that person knows.
Yeah.
The grandparents, their friends, their family. It's about the reach of the people who are involved. So theoretically, they could get 10 businesses every month for 2 years. Well, that works out at over £40,000.
Yeah.
And that's only if they bring them in for 2 years. That £40,000 is paid over three because they've brought new people in at the end of year two and we're still paying for the 12 months afterwards. So it's a renewable way of fundraising without having to ask people for money. And that's one of the biggest things that the charity sector currently has, is that there's so many people asking for money.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an apathy at the moment from charities asking for so much. And unfortunately, there's been some negative press around the charity sector as well, which doesn't help. So, it changes behaviour. So we're challenging that.
I think that, as you said, the income strategy of charities has to go through a shake-up because we are all getting bored. We are, constantly. I mean, I get probably 3 or 4 leaflets a week through my letterbox asking me to donate and whatever. And we are getting numb to it to a point where unless we're actually following it and passionately, as you are, passionately attached to a specific charity, then we become numb to it.
Yep. It's immaterial. It becomes immaterial as to what we do. Yes, we are in the business of making or keeping small businesses in business. That's what we do. If off the back of that we can help these charities because they have a cause that their supporters believe in. They already believe in because they support them.
Absolutely.
So let's work with them to promote that cause. And off the back of that, we can keep businesses in business as well. Everything comes around full circle.
Of course.
No, it's really, really good. And so obviously it's not just schools. You work with charities as well.
So we now have five major charities. So we have SAFA, Sarcoma UK. We have Demelza Hospice. We have Tankerton Football Club. And in the US, we have a group called Soldier Strong. They provide medical exoskeletons for military veterans.
Wow.
Brilliant. That's really, really good.
So that's those five, and then we've got six schools that run up to Christmas. Mm-hmm. No school was going to be looking at any potential charity program. But we've got six schools in Kent, two in Devon, and there's a couple in the Midlands that are all looking at this as a way of boosting their fundraising for 2020.
And in turn, because let's face it, it's got to have a business model and a business function from your point of view, mm-hmm. because me now is dependent on the amount of people who follow you or subscribe to you or you know, at least are connected
absolutely.
To your app. So so in a way, that's going to organically reach for you.
Yes.
But what other methods are you actually doing for businesses? How are you recruiting small businesses to join you?
So over the course of the year, we've sort of reined back in the networking because we need a bigger voice. We've done a couple of videos. We've done multiple advertising on social media. Social media works very, very well for us, but it depends on the time of day because people who are in business don't tend to be looking at their social media during working hours. You've got to hit them later in the day at weekends. So we are very reliant on our social media reach. Facebook probably more than anything else, because that's where we do have the demographic information as to who is running their own small businesses. It's easier to target people.
Yeah, and the type of businesses that you're targeting are still very much predominantly using Facebook as a platform because it works very well for their businesses, which is good.
And yet, Facebook can also hamper their business because if they were to try and promote that, we've got appointments available for later on today, you need people to be looking at your page now in order to be able to see that you've got appointments for today. Yeah. The Me Now app complements that because you can share what you're posting on Me Now to Facebook, to Twitter automatically. So you're reaching your customer base immediately with the notifications, and then you're also covering your social media bases with Twitter and with Facebook at the same time.
So if I wanted to have my nails done and I was looking, my nail artist was too busy and whatever, but I thought, okay, I can do it on Wednesday afternoon. I can actually switch my notifications on for Wednesday because I'm too busy during the week to receive it and I'm not really interested in having nails done, on Tuesday or Monday. But I could switch them on and then get a notification of a cancellation or a window in the appointment book and then afterwards switch it off.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So it gives the ownership back on the customer as to when they want to receive those notifications. It's not forced upon them. Otherwise, you'd end up with 50 notifications from 50 different types of businesses. And half of them you may have already been to in the last couple of weeks anyway. Works very well for dentists purely because if you phone up and you've got a toothache and there's no appointments on that day, you end up on a cancellation list. Mm. Well, by the time they work their way down that list, you may be nowhere near your dentist.
No.
So it's about putting the customer back in control with the level of advertising they want to receive.
And funnily enough, this week I've actually experienced that because I'm due to go back to my opticians and I get seen by a particular guy that I like to see and he understands what's going on with my eyes right now. And we made an appointment for Wednesday, but I got locked into a conversation with a client that went over and I missed my window to go and see him on Wednesday. And I'm now trying to rebook and they phoned me back with cancellations. Mm. One was for today, literally right now. And of course I can't make it.
Yep.
So it would be really handy for them to actually, have a system where or be a member of your so that I could actually post it and find out what's going on.
It just does that. We used to call it the dance. You're doing the dance backwards and
exactly.
forwards. It just eliminates that entirely. Yeah, yeah. It's more of an intelligent way of communicating.
Exactly. And trying to make an appointment with someone. Well, I can do Monday morning. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. And there is a series of emails back. But I have to say, there was a business strategy I was told a little while ago about the fact that if you're trying to arrange for someone, actually be very, very specific about when you can do it and give them a window of three options. And usually, with that method, it's just literally just one conversation bounces back. Yes, I can do Wednesday because that's the third option. whatever, and it works really well. But so many people, believe it or not, don't do that. Say, well, I could do probably Wednesday. Yeah. Go, okay, well, can I do Wednesday morning? No, in the afternoon. Oh, okay, what time? Mm. You know, and it's 4 or 5 emails before you've got one appointment. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm. I think we all do that, don't we? Should be adapted for businesses to book meetings and appointments as well.
Mm. Meeting rooms.
Oh, there we go. I've just given you another idea. But as the end of the show is fast approaching, it's really great to see how far you're reaching with it. And
I guess
how well
the one final plea, dive in. The one final plea is that if anybody knows of any schools or charities that could help you get help with some additional funding, then by all means, just give us a shout. And we can help them out on that. That's the
help
that's
get
the
them
ask.
Get them funding.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Definitely. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant extra thing that you're doing. If people want to get in contact with you, what's the best way of them reaching out to you?
Via our website. The blog posts are there. There's a contact page on the website as well.
Brilliant. Which is what?
MeNowApp.com.
MeNowApp.com. From John and Barry. See, it works better that way, doesn't it? John and Barry. Barry's going to get jealous now. We have to mix it up every now and then.
No, he's not.
No, I've got a feeling he's quite pleased with that.
Yes, is he? Oh.
After 4 years.
How do you merge them together, though? Jerry.
No.
Jerry.
No. I have to draw the line somewhere.
Such a spoiled sport.
Yes, a big, thick, red one.
No. And now, because, of course, you're not busy enough with all this, you do have a super secret project, which we're not allowed to talk about on air because there's lots of NDAs, but you are actually working on a super secret. I can't even say it now. I had it.
Top secret.
Super secret. You try saying that. Super secret project at the moment. When are you going to be able to tell us more about that? When are we going to have you back on so we can actually talk about it properly?
Probably towards the end of February that we can start to say much more about it. But for now, alpha-311.com is the website. It gives a little hint of what we're doing. But it's...
For the benefit of the listeners, give them a taste. What's the tease?
It's a new type of wind turbine that will provide free energy.
Wow.
Full stop. Thank you very much.
Yes. John's like giving him daggers. Shut up.
Enough
stop
said.
Don't say any more. And as Hack said earlier, it's revolutionary.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm gobsmacked at the numbers, I have to say. I've just signed an NDA, so I can't.
Patent protected.
Stop now. Moving on. Thank you guys again. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. We love having you guys. And it's nice to have you back again, John, since you missed last year.
Thank you for having me on.
So I promise not to use Jerry too often.
Thank you.
I like that, Jerry. I've got a couple of events I do want to shout out about before we come off air today. Beginning of the year, get yourself planned, get your diary planned for what's coming up. There's going to be a lot of great events coming up this year. I have had a shout out request from the wonderful Peter Searle, who's a business consultant, and he is a member of the FSB and he runs the FSB Connect networking event. And the next one is going to be on Wednesday, the 29th of January at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Metro Bank in Maidstone. And it's an FSB Connect. They're nice little free networking events that you get to. I don't know if it's free. It used to be free. Sometimes free. Oh, it is free. Yes, it's free up there. I've said it's free, but check it's free. It's free. You can go network with other business owners. And they've got a guest speaker who is Darren Booth, who is a manufacturing growth manager for Economic Growth Strategies. And funnily enough, he'll be talking about Manufacturing Growth Programme.
That's a mouthful.
It is. Always the FSB Connect networkings are lovely little networking events to go to. So if you want to find out more about that and to book on, if you go to fsb.org.uk and go onto the events page, search for Maidstone and you can book onto that. So that's worth going. Coming up in, okay, be advanced, put it in your diary, get yourself sorted. March the 11th is the Networkers Networking event is returning to Kent. Join us for a day of networking to learn how to make your networking more effective and efficient and learn how to build long-term relationships that will help you build and grow your business. Do you notice how I jazzed it up there? I've got lots of amazing things planned for this year's Networkers Networking event. Really going to add a bit of fun and what's it with it?
My favourites are the round tables.
The round tables, yeah. They work really well. We love the round tables. Yes. So we do round tables, we do networking, we have speakers talking about how to improve your networking. And I say I've got a few little fun things that we're going to add to it this year. So the first one is the 11th of March. Put it in your diary. we'll be launching the venue in the next week, but it is going to be down this way, so Ashford based. Also, future a digital women event is coming up on the 20th of March. Now that's Lucy Hall takes that into London. So digital women, that's always a great one, helping you learn more about the digital world and all different things with regards to digital for your business. And on May the 12th to the 14th, I know we're going right into May now, but it's social days, so put that in your diary. And ZC Live is back again this year on the 29th of May. So whose phone was that?
That'll be John's phone.
That'll be John's phone. So we will, as they're coming along, we'll announce events now. We want to know what events are going on.
Can I do a quick shout out?
Yes, really you may. You've got a minute.
Just really, really quick, a quick one. It's 6-2, run a digital meetup in Ashford.
Absolutely. And
this next meeting is on the 15th of January. At the Ashford Picture House at 6:30 in the evening. It's a great networking opportunity. There's also some pizza and beer, but they've got some really interesting speakers each month. And this month, they've just announced the fact they've got Kenneth Cox from Snapwire Software talking. So it's going to be an interesting evening.
Yes, and who's the other speaker? I can never remember how to pronounce his name. The other, he's got a from Digital Beans.
Ooh,
yes. Anyway, check out the.
Yes, check it out quick.
We can't remember his name. There. Sorry. Yeah. I can't remember. Philippus, I want to say.
Yeah, but they're a really good evening.
They're really good. And they're not just for people within the digital world. If you want to go and find out more about digital marketing and the digital world, then.
There's a lot of digital experts. So if your business needs some digital support in any way or form, you know, websites, marketing, video, blogs, you know, whatever, it's all there.
Definitely. Check it out. Right, that's it. We've come to the end of the show. That's it, the first show of 2020. Thank you to. John and Barry. Jerry.
She's been dying to say that, hasn't she?
Throw
your phone at her.
And Hacks. Vibrate on the table. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for co-hosting today. Oh, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the team. We'll be back next week. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, my co-host, and we've got another great guest. Don't forget to listen to The Bunker Show on Tuesday. Paul's got a great lineup. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2. Channel 2.